I thought we should spend a little time in this passage the next few occasions, including today as we meet around the Lord's table, because although it's a very familiar part of the Scriptures, that familiarity shouldn't breed indifference or contempt in us. And I'm going to speak upon a little phrase this morning, which we find in the middle of this reading. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." And the little expression I want to dwell on for a few brief moments is in verse 27, the body and blood of the Lord. The body and blood of the Lord. This morning we're going to think about the body of the Lord. And next time when we meet, if I'm here, or next time I am here and we're meeting, we'll think about the blood of the Lord. So the body of the Lord and the blood of the Lord. If you haven't got a concordance, try and buy one or borrow one. When my head's turned, you might be tempted to nick one from the library. But if you haven't got one, well, we can maybe try and supply one for you. But it's one of the most useful tools if you want to do a little personal devotional study. And it was very helpful to me when I was looking up references in the New Testament to the body of the Lord Jesus. I think I found about 7 or 8 references to the body of the Lord Jesus. The first is Matthew 26 verse 12, where the woman comes and pours the ointment over Christ, and Jesus said, "She hath anointed my body to the burying." She hath anointed my body to the burying. We should think too about, as we study the body of our Lord, about his relationship to his own body, God's relationship to the body that he gave Jesus Christ, our relationship to that body, what God did for him in respect of that body, what he did with his body, and what men have done in respect of his body. The body of Christ was anointed. Matthew 26 verse 26 tells us that in symbolism at the Lord's table when he instituted, he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." We have in Christ an anointed body, a broken body. We have, as Joseph, is it, of Arimathea, goes into Pilate, we have a body that is begged for. It says he craved the body of Jesus. Luke 24 verse 23 says they sought the body of Jesus, that is the body of Christ that they thought was still in the tomb. Philippians 3 verse 21 talks about the character of his body being glorious. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." So we have a blessed body, a broken body, a begged for body, a glorious body, and a burdened body. But I suppose, taking them in logical order, the very first one would have to be Hebrews 10 and verse 5. He says, "A body hast thou prepared me." If the creation of our own bodies in our mother's womb is a wonderful miracle, and it is, how much more wonderful and miraculous must the creation of Christ's body be? You see, Christ's body was not created by natural generation. It was supernaturally conceived. Psalm 139 puts the creation of our bodies like this: "God knew us in the innermost part of our mother's belly," or words to that effect. And it tells us, "I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made." Even the wise man Solomon couldn't get to grips with the miracle of human life when he said, "Thou knowest not how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child." It's a wonderful miracle. But if it's a miracle in respect of us, how much more wonderful it must have been in respect of Christ, because it was a once-off. It was a unique body, real but unique, a body that has prepared for me. It was prepared in a secret place. It was prepared by special power. It was prepared for a saving purpose. Without that body, Christ could not go to the cross and die for us in the way that he did. So as we sit here today, and as we gather at the Lord's table, let's remember in the breaking of the bread, the symbol of the breaking of his body. All that was precious about Christ's body, the fact that it was such a special creation, and yet he took that and he broke it at Calvary for us. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. There's no chorus that our sister Doreen used to sing the odd time at the Lord's table when the Lord had touched her heart. How greatly Jesus must have loved me. How greatly Jesus must have loved me to bear my sins in his body on the tree. So may the Lord bless these few suggestions to us, and may help us to discern his body and understand its worth today.